davened on Motzah Shabbos whilst it was still Shabbos. Says Tosfos, Yesh Loimar. We would say, says Tosfos, De Hocha Mairi, over here we are talking about Sheyesh Loi Soirech Mitzvah Lasois B'Motzei Shabbos, comma. We're talking about, says Tosfos, that somebody has a Tzorech Mitzvah. He has a need to do a particular mitzvah on Motzei Shabbos. What will be an example? What's he in such a rush for? Kagoin Loleches Lomul Tinoik. He's in a rush to go and do bris milah to a child. Obviously, he doesn't mean we're doing it tonight. We don't do milah at night. So obviously, he's doing a bris milah tomorrow morning, and for some reason, that requires him to leave the house now. V'loy yeloy yayin lahavdola. And he will not have wine for havdola im lo yaktim, if he does not leave early. Meaning, he has to leave early. Why? Because he's got this mitzvah, he's got this train to catch. But whilst on the train, there's no way he can get hold of wine there. So what are you going to tell him? Take wine with? For whatever reason, it's impossible. So wherever he's going to be later on, he will not have wine. That's why he wants to make havdalah now, half an hour before the termination of Shabbos, not obviously to allow him to board his train now, because it's still Shabbos, but he wants to board the train the minute Shabbos goes out. He won't have time to make havdalah then, whilst the on the journey on the train, he's not going to have wine, and that's why he wants to make havdalah early, so that when it comes to Tzeis HaKoychovim, that's it, he'll be out the house in a flash. Now, why is Tosfos telling us this entire scenario? Why must that be? Devadai tzorich lohoisif michoil al hakodesh. Those are with us on our Thursday night parasha shir, this is it. You have to do Tosfos Shabbos, midoiraisa. We should add in parenthesis that there actually is a very big machlokes about this, to be honest. The opinion of the Rambam, famously, the Rambam says that actually there is no principle of Tosfos Shabbos. It's a machlokes, how you learn the Gemara. It's not our subject. But clearly, Tosfos is disagreeing, and Tosfos is telling you that there is an obligation to do Tosfos Shabbos, and not only that, Tosfos added the key word and said, Do'oiraisa. So if that's the case, that's why Tosfos is very bothered. If there is a chiyuv to imoisif min achoil al hakodesh, to add extra time to Shabbos, so why on earth is he making Avdalah early? What's the big rush? To the contrary, he should be taking out Shabbos as late as he can. That's why, says Tosfos, I've got no other choice but to say that we're talking about extenuating circumstances. Aval bechinom loy. What does bechinom loy mean? Bechinom, for no reason, loy. Then you would not make early Havdalah. It's only if there was very good reason. Upshita shaloi hoyu maharim. And obviously, generally, it would be obvious that we would not rush lahavdil to make Havdalah ulehispalel shel motza Shabbos b'Shabbos. Why would you not generally rush to do that? To gamba melocha osur, as we said before. Because melacha would still be asa im chashecha until it's absolutely done. So generally, there is nothing to be gained, and there is no reason to make havdalah. You cannot do melacha anyway. And besides, you're really supposed to be doing Tosfos Shabbos. This particular case is talking about extenuating circumstances, that he had to catch his train because he's got a bris milah first thing in the morning, tomorrow, etc., etc., etc. So generally we do not make havdalah early. This is very negea, especially, for example, in Chutz La'aretz. At the moment, in England, Shabbos goes out at about 10 o'clock. So this is a commonly asked shayla. If you have an elderly person who wants to go to bed at 9 o'clock, so what should he do? Can he daven Maariv? He can daven Maariv. That's a Mefurash Gemara. You can daven Maariv, as long as it's after Plaga Mincha, obviously. But you can daven Maariv on Motzah Shabbos early. That's the Gemara tells us quite clearly. But according to what we're learning now, you can also make Avdolah. You will not, obviously, be allowed to do Malacha until it's Tzeis HaKoychovim. But you can make Avdolah.
But he can eat.
But you can eat after making Avdolah. Correct. If not, if it was too early, let's say you went to bed before plag, then you'll have to make Avdolah the next morning. Or any time till Tuesday.
Rav, a quick question just in general about the Gemara. When the Gemara gives a statement like Amar Rav Zeva, Amar Rav Yasi, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanim, Amar Rav, it gives this whole litany of Amaroyim. Does that have any more significance than if it didn't have that? What if it just said Amar Rav? What's the purpose? And
because the Gemara always feels it crucial to trace the source and to say every statement b'shem oimrei, in the name of the person who said it. Chazal say that if ever you say a halacha in the name of the person who authored it, you are bringing the geula to the olam. So we could have said Amar Rav, but at the end of the day, we never heard it from Rav. We heard it from one Amoira, from another, from another, from another, and that way you bring the geula to the olam.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I saw in a sefer that I opened, and if we're going to say B'Shem Omroy, I'll tell you which sefer it was. His name is Rav Karp. He lives in Kiryat Sefer, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He has a sefer on brachas. And he says that for years and years and years, he was greatly distressed about this piece of Gemara. What's the Gemara teaching us? That he made Davin Maariv early, and it wasn't at the side of the Omud, and it was the side of the Tamara. What on earth is the Gemara teaching us? I looked around myself a little bit. Mefarshim don't discuss it. It's very, very strange. What on earth is the Gemara teaching us? So he suggests that the Gemara is actually hinting to this principle of Tosfos. Tosfos just tells us that essentially you should not be davening early Maariv and Moitzei Shabbos. So why did they in the Gemara? Because it was extenuating circumstances and you had to leave, you had to set out for a trip. But otherwise, why on earth would you want to make early Motzah Shabbos? Which means that I'm learning from Tosfos two things. Firstly, that indeed, do not daven Maariv early on Motzah Shabbos if there's no necessity. Number two is that everything that Tosfos said obviously only applies with regard to Motzah Shabbos, but not Friday night. To the contrary, davening Maariv early on Friday night might in theory be very commendable, because that's the way I'll be mekayim my mitzvah of Tosfos Shabbos. We discussed last time, you don't have to, you can be Mekayim Tosfos Shabbos without davening Maariv as well. But either way, Tosfos is only concerned with Motzah Shabbos. Why on earth would you want to make early Maariv? And Tosfos has to say, you're right, we're dealing with extenuating circumstances. So Rav Karp suggests in his Sefer that maybe that's what's being hinted to in the Gemara. What does it mean, Betzad Omud? Where is there an Omud? In Shul. In Shul, you have your Omud, you have your Shtender. And what's Betzad tomorrow? A date tree? Obviously, it's in the field. He says, maybe that's what the Gemara is hinting to. The initial version of the story was that this took place when Betzad Omud, which means to say that he davened in his regular place in Shul, and that's why the Gemara was so keen to reject it and said, no, it wasn't, it was by a tree in the middle of the forest somewhere. In other words, you were setting on a journey. Don't make the mistake of thinking that in your regular, normal place that you daven in shul, you may take Shabbos out early. No, that's not the case. As Tosfos says, that's only when you have to go outdoors already. You're on a trip. Number one. Number two, the Gemara said you got another fact wrong. It wasn't Friday night. It was Moitzei Shabbos. Says Rav Karp, that also fits in so beautifully with Tosfos. Because if it would have been on Friday night, then I would have no problem in saying that indeed it was Bitzad Omud, it was in Shul. You can make early Friday night, what's the problem in that? Says the Gemara, if you want to know why was he doing this strange thing of making early Motzah Shabbos, the answer is precisely because he was not in Shul. He was Bitzad tomorrow, he was somewhere outdoors in the field waiting to go. So for all of Tosfos's Yesoid, is actually hinted to in the Gemara. And he writes over there in his pshat that he's absolutely thrilled with his pshat.
Could he also be distinguishing between a yochid and the rabbim in terms of davening?
Yeah, could be. But either way, if we want to know why is it important where he davened, whether it was Friday night or Motzah Shabbos, the answer is those two questions, in fact, answer each other. Precisely because it was Motzah Shabbos, that's why it's important for us to know where he was. Friday night, I'm not interested. If you want to make early Friday night, early Shabbos, wonderful. But early Motzah Shabbos, what's going on? Was he Betzad Omud next to his regular Shtende in Shul? Says Amor, no, not at all. He was on the Derech, Betzad tomorrow. Rav Karp writes in his Sefer, he concludes and he writes, Vehi Kaftor Voferach. He commends his own pshat. What does that mean, Kaftor Voferach? That is a turn of phrase. Kaftor, of course, is the buttons that they had on the menorah, and perach are the flowers they had on the menorah. So he was literally saying that this phrase appears in Chazal as well. When you hear beautiful Chiddush Torah, you say, ah, as beautiful as the menorah. Kaftor Voferach. I once saw in the Netziv, in HaMekdova, Parashas Tetzaveh writes, that the menorah is actually the source of all of our chidushim in Torah Sheba'al Peh. We've discussed this many times in the Parashas Shir. In the Beis HaMikdosh, there were two kelim that represented the Torah. There was obviously the Oroin, which had the Torah in it, had the Luchos, and the menorah, kibneir mitzvah, v'toyrah oir. Why did you need two? The answer is, what was inside the aroin? The luchos is teirah shebichsav, and the menorah was teirah shebal peh, with all its complexities and intricacies. We've discussed on other occasions, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get a tziv. He finds a medrash, and the medrash says that Reb Tarfon once was mechadesh a chiddush in Torah. He was so excited about it that he claimed and he said, ah, kaftor voferach. He explained so beautifully that it's, that's not just a turn of phrase. It's a specific reference to the menorah because he understood and he recognized that it was in the zechus and through the shefa of the menorah that he was in fact zeicha to come up with his chiddush and Torah Shebal Peh in the first place. So when Rav Karp writes in his sefer, he suggests this pshat in the Gemara, and then he says, ah, yikaftor voferach, that's a reference to the menorah. Okay, let's move on. Again, a very, very fascinating Gemara coming up. The Mishnah told us, the opening Mishnah in the Perek, that Mariv Tfilas Ha'erev Ein Lo Keva. Ein lo keva is a strange phrase. Literally translated, ein lo keva means it's not established. What does that mean, that tfilas or erev is not established? What does that mean? Says the Gemara, my ein lo keva. What do those words mean? What do those words mean, ein lo keva, that Mari is not established? What does that mean? Said, be kulei laila, that if you want, you may daven all night. Unlike other tefillos, there is a specific time in the day when you must daven them, shachris or mincha. But ma'ariv, you can daven any time from the onset of nightfall all the way till the morning. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means. Ein lo keva means there's no established time, because you can daven whenever you want during the course of the night. Is that what the Mishnah means? Says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means, listni. So it should state, quote unquote, tfilas ha'erev kol halaylo. Why use such a bizarre phrase of ein lo keva? If all it means is you can daven all night, then why didn't it say so? Tfilas ha'erev kol halaylo. Why didn't it say that? So obviously, ein lo keva must mean something else. What is that something else? Hello. It means something different. My, what does it mean, quote unquote, ein lo keva? Command Oma. This apparently follows the opinion of Tfilas Arvis Rashus. Tfilas Arvis, according to one opinion, is a Rashus, as the Gemara immediately says. The Omar of Yudah Mashmuel. Tfilas Arvis, when it comes to Ma'ariv, Rabbim Gamliel Oimer Choivo, Rabbi Yeshua Oimer Rashus. So we have a Machloikas Tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbim Gamliel. Sorry, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where the Ma'ariv is a choiva, an absolute obligation, or a rashus. What rashus means, we'll see in a moment. But either way, rashus clearly means that it's not a choiva. So the Gemara says, that's what our Mishnah means as well. When it says, tfilah so'erev ein lo keva, it's not referring to the time that you may daven. Otherwise, it simply would have said you could daven ma'ariv all night. Tfilas so'erev ein lo keva means it's not established, meaning it's not a choiva. It is a rashus. Now, we'll see what this means in a moment. But let's just finish the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Sorry, Oma Abaya. So Abaya tells us, halacha kedivrei ha'oimer choiva, the rova oma halacha kedivrei ha'oimer rishus. So we have a machlokes between Abaya and Rova. According to Abaya, we maintain that indeed Ma'ariv is a choiva. According to Rova, it's a rishus. Now we know, whenever we have a machlokes between Abaya and Rova, we follow the opinion of Rova. And that's why you'll see next to the words Verova Oma Halacha Kedivrei Rishus is a little chof. That indeed is Halacha Lemais. So, we seem to paskin that Ma'ariv is a Tfilas Rishus. Either way, whatever we paskin, but our Mishnah is definitely following that opinion. And that's what it means when it says Ein Lo Keva. Now, what does that mean that Ma'ariv is a Rishus? If we were to translate it literally, it sounds like it's a rashus, optional. You don't need to daven Ma'ariv. If you fancy davening Ma'ariv, you may daven, and if you don't, that's fine as well. That's what it sounds like. Look at Tosfos, and this is a Tosfos we saw earlier on in the parak, and we're going to look back at it. It says, Tosfos halacha kedivrei ha'oimer rashus lav Dafka Rishus. Don't make the mistake of translating literally that it's optional. Chas v'sholom, says Tosas, it's not optional. Elo kedepricious le'el. Rather, it means, as we explained earlier on, olekach nikra rishus. What does it mean? Why is it called a rishus? Levatla. Because one may be mevatalit avur mitzvah acheres for another mitzvah, ha'iveres, which is passing. What does that mean? If you're about to daven mincha, and another mitzvah comes your way, an oni knocks on your door, and he says, can I please have some tzedakah? I'm leaving town in 1 minute. If you don't give me tzedakah now, that's it. You'll miss the opportunity. Now, you know that if you tend to the oni, you won't be able to daven mincha. You daven mincha. It's a chayva. You have to daven mincha. If, however, we were dealing with Mariv, then indeed Mariv would be put aside. Because you have what's called a mitzvah oiveres, a passing mitzvah. This is a mitzvah which cannot be done at a later opportunity because the poor man is knocking on your door now, but he's disappearing soon. So under a circumstance like that, then Mariv is pushed aside. That's what it means that Mariv is Rishus. It does not mean that it's optional and that you can daven or not daven as you please. Now, Tosfos sends you to Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. So turn back to the beginning of the Perek. And look at the third Tosfos on the page, on Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, Dibur Amaschil Ta'ah. So it says there that if you didn't daven, remember we learned this when we did Tashlumin, if you didn't daven Shachris, two Minchas. You didn't do Mincha, two Marivs. And what happens if you didn't daven Mariv? Two Shachrisim. It says Tosfos, Ta'o, V'lo Yispalel Arvis, Mispalel B'Shachrishtayim. It says Tosfos, I don't understand. V'im Toima. V'ha'omar Rav lekamon. Rav told us later on in the Perek, Tfilas Arvis Rushus. V'kaimelon kevosei. And that, in fact, is the way that we pasken, because we always pasken like Rav be'isurim. In all halachas of Issa and Heta, as opposed to financial issues. In financial matters, we do not pasken like Rav. But in the issues of what's osa and what's muta, we pasken like Rav. So what does Tosfos mean to ask? If we pasken like Rav, that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, then what does that mean? Tosfos understands initially that means Rishus. You can daven, you cannot daven, whatever you see fit. So if you don't have to daven Mariv, then how can you tell me that if I miss out Mariv, I've got to daven Shachris twice? How can there possibly be tashlumin for a tefillah that I was never mechuyev to daven in the first place? That's one kasha. The second kasha is not negeir to us. So look in the middle of that Tosfos. V'yesh loimar. It says Tosfos. Hodom rinon the tefillah sarvis rishus, quote unquote. That which we always say that marv is a rishus, it doesn't mean that you can daven or not daven as you please. Rather, what does it mean? Hainu legabei mitzvah acheres vehi oiveres. It is with regard to another mitzvah that comes your way, which is oiveres, which is passing. You will not be able to do it at a later stage. So then the halacha is Da'oz Omrinon. So then we say, Tidche Tfilas Arvis Miponeho. So then we push off Mariv Miponeho in favor of the second mitzvah. Avol Lechinom, but for no reason, Ein Loi Levatlo. But for no reason, one Chas V'Sholom is not Mevatl Mariv. And that's what Tosfos is pointing out on our Amud as well. When the Gemara says, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, don't make the mistake, it doesn't mean that you don't have to daven. If it really meant that you don't have to daven, then obviously there couldn't possibly be a principle of Tashlumin. how can you have tashlumin for something where there was no chiyav in the first place? The answer is there was a chiyav in the first place. And that's why if you missed it out, you have to do tashlumin. What does it mean that Tfilas Aris is a reshus? It simply means that if another mitzvah comes your way and that mitzvah is passing up, then Maariv will take a back seat. That's all it means. But not chas v'sholem that Maariv is optional. Let's just learn one more tesis before we clock out and clock back in. V'ilchasa kavose de Rav, we paskin that Rav, that what? That Maariv is a reshus, v'nirev. Says Tosas de lekach tiknu psukim v'kaddish bein geula litfila. Why? The rishosi. We know there is a mitzvah to do what the Gemara calls being soimech geula litfila. You should always juxtaposition geula to tfila. So on Shachris, what are the words immediately prior to Shmoneh Esra, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael? And then we daven. When it comes to Maariv, we also say Goel Yisrael. But then we insert Hashkiveinu, we say Kadesh. How can that be? What happened to Geula Letfilo? So Tosfos says, here is another manifestation of the fact that Tfilas Aravis is a Rishus. If it was an absolute Chayva with all the trappings of a Chayva, you would not be allowed to do anything after Geula before the Tfilah. But because Aravis is a Rishus, even though Tosfos just pointed out to us in the previous Tosfos, that doesn't mean it's optional. But certainly it does mean there are leniencies. So we have now seen in Tosfos there are two separate leniencies in Maariv. Number one, that it gives way in favor of another mitzvah, which is Averis. And number two, we were Masakim Psukim and Kaddish after Geula, because the principle of being Soma Geula Letfila does not apply to Maariv like it does to Shacharis. Okay, let's clock out and then we'll clock back in.
Okay.
The Gemara of Aitam. Very, very famous, famous Gemara.
Can you wrap the mic closer to?
Yes.
Mishpah.
He has to move the mic.
Wait 1 second. Okay, that should be better.
That's better.
That's better.
Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Maisa b'Talmid Echad. There was a Maisa with one Talmid, Shebo Lifnei Rabbi Yehoshua. Now we have to remember, Rabbi Yehoshua was the one who told us, at least was quoted as having said, that Maariv is Rishus. So the Talmid comes to Rabbi Yehoshua, Omale, and he said to him, he asked him the following question. Tfilas Aravis Rishus or Choyva? Is Tfilas Aravis a Rishus or a Choyva? And indeed he answered, Amalei Rishus. It's a Rishus. This is Rabbi Yeshua's famous opinion that Tfilas Maariv is a Rishus. Bolifnei Rabban Gamliel. He then approached Rabban Gamliel, Omaleh, and he said to him the same question, Tfilas Aravis Rishus or Choyva? And he answered back differently, Omaleh Choyva. It's a Choyva, an out-and-out obligation. Omaleh V'aloi, surely, Rabbi Yeshua Omaleh Rishus. Strange that you tell me that Tfilas Aravis is a Choyva, when in fact Rabbi Yeshua told me the opposite, which is a Rishus. not so clear what the question was. I mean, there could be a machlokes. Nothing wrong with being a machlokes. But either way, that's what he was asking him. How can you say that tefillah sarvis is a chayva when we were told by Rabbi Yeshua that it's a rishus? Omalei. So he said to him, okay, watch this. Hamtein, wait, ad sheyikonsu, until they enter, who? Balei trisin lebeis hamedrash. What does it mean, balei trisin? Trisin literally means warriors. The Talmidei Chachamim, who, as it were, fight, have a molchama in Torah, so we're using warlike mesholim to describe them. So they're called the warriors. Look at Rashi. Why are the Talmidei Chachamim called Bali Trisim? Chachamim. This is a reference to the Chachamim. Hamanatzchim ze'ezeh ba'alocha. Who are victorious over each other in alocha. Again, continuing the warlike moshel. There's a mulchama. There's two sides. There's victory. That's what it is. A milchamta shel Torah. I always think to myself, imagine if somebody completely unaffiliated or a goy would enter a Beis HaMedrash one day and you'd see two chavrusas yelling at each other. You'd for sure be convinced that they absolutely hate each other's guts. I wouldn't believe that they're best friends. So why are they yelling at each other? The answer is that's a milchamta shel Torah, where each one is trying to get to the emes. So he said, let's see what happens when the Talmidei Chachamim enter the Beis HaMedrash. In what? Kishenichnasu Balei Trisin. So when the Balei Trisin, meaning the Talmidei Chachamim, when indeed they enter the Beis HaMedrash, Omad Hashoyel. So the questioner, one of the Talmidim, stood up in front of all the Talmidei Chachamim, and he announced, Meirai v'raboisai, tfilas arvis rishus, oi chayva. What indeed is it? Is arvis a rishus or a chayva? Omale Rabban Gamliel, chayva. Rabban Gamliel once again maintained his position that ma'ariv is a chayva. Omalehem Rabban Gamliel lachachomim. So Rabban Gamliel, having offered his position and said that he maintains that Ma'ariv is a chayva, he said, Klum yesh odom shechaylek bedovum. Is there anybody who disagrees with this? There is somebody who disagrees with this. And who is this? Rabbi Yeshua? Omale Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua himself says, Lav. No. There is nobody who disagrees. Very strange. Because there is somebody who disagrees, and in fact it's Rabbi Yeshua himself. But Rabbi Yeshua for some reason says, no. No disagree. Everybody holds, like you, that Ma'ariv is a chayva. Omalei, Sir Rabban Gamliel, immediately retorted, Vahaloi. But surely, Mishimcha, in your very name, Omruli Rishus? They told me in your name that in fact you maintain that Ma'ariv is a Rishus. What do you mean nobody disagrees? You yourself disagree. This is, of course, referring to the previous piece of Gemara where the Talmud came to Rishua, he came to Gamliel. Gamliel told him it was a Chayva. And the Talmud said, oh, really, you say it's a chayva? But Rabbi Yeshua said it's rishus? That's how Rabban Gamliel knew what Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was. He had heard it, not directly from Rabbi Yeshua, but in his name. So how peculiar it is now, of all people, but it's Rabbi Yeshua himself now saying to Rabbi Gamliel, no, nobody disagrees. What do you mean nobody disagrees? You disagree. And he didn't just leave it at that. Omale, he instructed him, Yehoshua amoid al raglecho. Stand up on your feet, v'yeidu b'cho. and let them testify in you. In other words, what do you have to say for yourself? You put him on the spot. Omad Rabbi Yeshua Raglov. Rabbi Yeshua indeed stood upon his feet, and he admitted. Va'oman, he said, Ilmoli ani chai v'hu meis. Were I to be alive and he was dead, so it's very easy to argue with somebody who's dead. Why is it easy? Because you know that he can't argue back. Is there any yochel hachai lahakhish esameis? Well, then the live person can easily disagree with the dead person. He's got nothing to lose. Ba va'achshav she'ani chai v'hu chai. But now that I'm alive, and so is Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is also alive, and he's put me on the spot, and he's pointed out that I maintain that Tfilas Arvus is a Rashus, so I don't really have anything to respond. Is Heich Yochel Hachai Lahakchish Esachai? How can the live person disagree with the live person? Here he is telling me that I myself said the opposite. In other words, yes, I admit, I'm not quite sure why he said the opposite in the beginning, but either way he says, yes, indeed, I maintain that Tfilas Arvus is a Rashus, not as I previously stated. Rabban Gamliel, Hoya Rabban Gamliel, Yoshev V'dairish. So Rabban Gamliel continued giving a drasha. V'Rabbi Yeshua Oimed Al Raglov, and Rabbi Yeshua was still standing on his feet. Sh'rananu Kol Ha'om, until they all started being Merane. What does Merane mean? Mocking him and criticizing him. Look at what Rabbi Gamliel's done to you. Look what a mockery he's made out of you. You said that you never said it, and he said that you did say it, and then in the end you had to admit that you did. V'amru, this is the scene that's unfolding, quite a remarkable scene in the Beis HaMedrash. V'amru l'chutzpis ha-turgamon. The turgamon, the one who translated, the one who explained all the chidushim that were said in the drasha, he was called chutzpis. They said to him, amoid! V'omad, and he stood. Omri ad kamei netzairei v'nezel. How long will Rabbi Gamliel continue to be metzair, to distress Rabbi Yeshua? In other words, this is not the first time that he's made a mockery, as it were, out of Rabbi Yeshua. Why? B'roish Hashana Ishtakeid Tzari. Last year, Rosh Hashanah time, it was actually in Yom Kippur, he was also metzair him. How so? Famous Mishnah, everybody knows this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. There was a machloekas as to the calculation of Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Yeshua maintained it was Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Av Bez Din, said, no, it's not. And to prove his point, he instructed Rabbi Yeshua to turn up at Rabbi Gamliel's house on the day that Rabbi Yeshua himself maintained was Yom Kippur. And he said, you have to carry your stick, and you have to carry your money, and he did so. Says Rashi, Ishtakeid. Sorry, I missed out. Heich yochol hachai lahakchish esachai. How can the live person deny the live person? In other words, al korchi, against my will, I have nothing to say. Ani tzorich lohoidois. I have to admit that indeed, she'omarti lo'i rushus. Yes, it is true that I said that Marv is a Rishus. Haturgman, what was his job? Shoyoime Lefei Rabban Gamliel. He used to stand in front of Rabban Gamliel. Umashmia l'rabim es hadrosha. And he used to tell the rabbim, he used to explain to all the Talmidim the drosha of Rabban Gamliel. Nepi Rabban Gamliel. Amoid shtoik, be silent. Eshtakeid shona she'ovra, last year. What happened? Rosh Hashanah, because it says b'maseches Rosh Hashanah she'omar loy, he said to him, Goyzer ani olecha, I decree upon you, she'tovoy etzli, that you must come to me, b'maklecha with your stick, u'b'moisecha with your money, b'yoyim ha-kippurim, on the day which is Yom HaKippurim, shechal liyois b'cheshboincha, according to your cheshbon. And indeed he did. So that was the first time that Rabbi Gamliel, as it were, was metza'er Rabbi Yeshua. The next time, tsa'arei, says the Gemara, b'b'choyrois, b'maisa d'Rab Tzadik. What happened there, says Rashi? B'b'choyrois, b'masechtos, b'choyrois, b'maisa d'Rab Tzadik, b'b'choyrois, u'Rab Tzadik, havalei buchra. Rabbi Tzadik had a b'choyr, v'omalei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, amoid al raglecho, again, stand up and admit, and a whole story with regard to the b'choyr, ki hocha. Just like over here, where he was made to stand up in public and admit his mistake. That was the second time, says the Gemara. And tsa'are, once again, hochanami tsa'are. So we had the Rosh Hashanah tsa'are, the Bechoyre tsa'are, and now hochanami tsa'are. And they were so upset with Rabbi Gamliel, who'd be Mitzayer of Yeshua now, for the third time, they said, "To, let us come, v'ne'avre, and we will remove him from being the Nossi." Rabbi Gamliel at the time was the Nossi. Says Rashi, "To, v'ne'avre, boyu, v'na'avir oisoi, let us remove him, min ha'nasius." They clearly did not see him fit any longer to be the Nossi, having now been Messiah of Yeshua on three occasions.
Did they do that?
I've got to be careful what I say. I'm also a Rav of a shul, but you remind me, Rav Avram, when I learnt in a school called Pardes House. Pardes House School, Rav Yosef Marks will remember it, in Golders Green, was in an area called Finchley. Now, the way it works in England is, unlike in this country, every member of parliament is officially a member of parliament for a designated area. So in each area, you vote your member of parliament. So when Margaret Thatcher was the prime minister of the country, she was actually the member of parliament for Finchley, which means that our school was within her jurisdiction. Government, where some of the junior politicians were trying to overthrow her, it was all balagan. But she was, as it known, the Iron Lady, and she held on to power. She came to visit school, Park Tower School, and of all the parishes that she turned up on, it was Parishes Koirach. So she came into one of the classes and she asked the Rebbe, his name was Rav Weiss, he's no longer alive, my Rebbe, and she asked Rav Weiss, "So what are you teaching the boys?" So he told her, he said there was this person called Koirach, and he wanted to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader, and he made a whole noise about it. In the end, a miracle occurred, and the land opened and swallowed him up alive. So upon which, she immediately answered, she said to her entourage, "You see what happens when you rebel against authority?" That was her response in Pardes House School. I'll call upon in Voifer. I don't know what the official jurisdiction is, what the rules are, how you can and how you cannot remove a Nossi. But either way, our Gemara clearly tells us that you can. So the big question became, so who are we going to now put instead of him? Who are we going to appoint? Says the Gemara, man noikim lei. So who should we establish instead of him? So look at Rashi. To v'na'avrei, boyu, let's come v'na'avir oisoi, and we will remove him min hanasius from his prince, from his position as Nosti. But who's nukmei le Rabbi Yeshua? If we establish Rabbi Yeshua, says the Gemara, we can't do that. Why not? Baal Maisa. What does it mean, Baal Maisa? He was the one with whom the whole story happened in the first place. There's Rashi, a phenomenal Rashi. Bal Maisahu. Vahavalei l'Rabban Gamliel Sa'aro Tfei. That would add additional unfair tsar onto Rabban Gamliel. Bad enough that we have to remove him from his post. But if you put in his position the one person who he just had an argument with, that would literally be rubbing salt into the wounds. And that's unnecessary. If you look at Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Sefer Sichas Musa, has a whole shmooze about this Rashi. So we can't possibly appoint Rabbi Yeshua in his place. So who's next? Nukma le Rabbi Akiva.